B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mabb.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mabb.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You left New England. You got tired of it. It wore you out. You know, they ask you constantly, Danny, to sacrifice money, sacrifice individualism. You know, listen, I get it. Like, when you left there, were you worn out a little bit with New England?
Well, I was an extreme, you know, I was a huge fan of Bill and the way he coached and his tactics and what he did to prepare us for the game. I loved playing for Bill. In a lot of cases, it was the same reason why I went to Detroit and got to play for Coach Patricia. But the fact that he also wore the GM hat and I had to negotiate my contract with them 3 years in a row by myself and take pay cuts to, you know, help him and put rings on his finger, kind of wore me the wrong way. So I felt like it was in best interest for me to move on.
Okay, it's Danny Amendola with Colin Cowherd yesterday, following up on his comments to Nick Wright on FS1 the day before, in which he said, you look up Patriot Way in the dictionary, there's a picture of Tom Brady next to it. This is starting to bug you, Maz. Why?
Because once you start doing multiple interviews, it goes from a campaign to a crusade. And then I look at it and say, well, just shut up already. I heard you the first time. Like, it just becomes too much. And so, and that one, it there. Well, you know, I had to negotiate with him by myself. Get an agent. Get an agent.
Well, yeah, I have a thought on that, but finish.
Okay, so I would say if you feel like you're getting slapped around, then you don't have to deal with them either. You could just become a free agent and go out and get another job if that's what you want. And then, oh, boo-hoo, I put rings on his fingers. Why, you didn't get me? You didn't get them? That wasn't worth something too? So, but the big thing is, in all honesty, like the second one there, compared to the one that he did earlier in the week with Nick Wright, sounds more whiny to me than the first one did. The first one sounded more like a support of Brady. But the bigger point is this. Once you start doing them over and over again, dude, shut up already. I heard you the first time. It loses its meaning. It loses its value. It loses its power. And I know what it was from the beginning. I'm not saying I didn't. But at least you can say, oh, well, there you go. There's a good shot. And that's it. Then you move on and everybody can play the sound or whatever, which is what your intention was. And you get your little dig in. But when you start doing interview after interview and it's the same theme over and over again, then I take you less seriously.
Yeah, but some of these shows are complicit, too, though. Once they realize he said something juicy, you know that, you know, all these producers start reaching out like, ooh, let's get him. Maybe we can get more out of him. I mean, yeah, I know he could say, no, thanks. I already did my one spot, but I don't think it's completely all on him. I don't.
Yeah, he doesn't have to answer it. He doesn't have to answer it. I mean, there's a million people who get a million calls when they say something because people want them to repeat it and they want to get the content for themselves. And guys don't call back and they just let the first statement stand.
I like it. It's making everyone mad. So
me too.
Keep doing these interviews.
Me too, Murray. And I'm still with Amendola. And I think the pushback here locally is gross. It's like, you know, Amendola has become this target now, right? Because, well, he sucked anyway, and what did he really do? And, you know, we made him in this ungrateful, and he didn't really do anything, and wah, you know? And he's just got to, you know, he just has an axe to grind because he had to give back money and get an agent if you don't like it. And I'm not lumping you in there, Maz, because you don't say it in that tone, but I'm hearing this now this week, right, Murray? It's like,
yeah.
So some of those are legit criticisms, but it getting lost in that, getting lost in that is the fact that there are legitimate criticisms in there and potentially some real problems here that we just, you, baby Patriot fan, did not account for. To wit, you know, the first thing, Bill Belichick, I went over this yesterday, Bill Belichick and his staff at every turn are so eager to carve out their share of the credit. It like no other team I've ever seen. Okay, the organization has been so insistent on letting us know that it's the system and the Patriot way and their business models and Bill's coaching, and we practiced it on Friday, and that team is so insistent on that, in taking their share of the credit, that can you blame a player for saying, It ain't you, it's us. So that's a real problem. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, that rubs players the wrong way. And so I'm with Danny Amendola on that. And the second thing is the money. The money is not why you've won, okay? You know, beating players up on contracts is not why you've won. You won in spite of that. And as soon as Brady leaves, what has that done for you? So all your brilliance with contracts and all your hard-ass maneuvers with contracts, what is it good for? If Tom Brady leaves and you go 7-9, that's been a lie that's been fed to you, that the way they handle their finances is why they've won. It's a joke. So those, I consider those two real problems. The coaches making themselves the story, and the coaches trying to take the credit away from the players, has rubbed players the wrong way and has not helped them. And the way they handle money has not helped them. Brady just covered it up, and Bell's coaching covered it up. But what did that do for him? And that whole thing about if you don't like it, get an agent. Let me tell you, I don't know how it went down with Danny Amendola. I thought he had an agent. But I've heard from numerous Patriots players who've had agents who are in a spot where they know they're going to have to take some sort of restructure or cut or something, and Bill calls them directly. Bill calls them directly and says, what are we going to do about this? And the player will say, well, have you talked to Bill? Have you talked to Jack? Have you talked to Fred? Have you talked to my agent? You know, why are you calling me? Why don't you call Ira? You know, or whoever. You call my guy. Call CAA. They're on it. Call those guys. Why am I here? And it's sort of like this pressure thing that, you know, Bill's hardly the only one that does it, by the way. But, you know, it's just sort of that individual pressure where you get the call from Bill, who's the coach, who's in charge of your playing time, but is now talking about your contract. And what, you know, what that pressure really is I don't want to talk to your agent. I'm not going to talk to your agent. This is about you and me, and this is about your playing time, and this is what we have to do. And players feel pressured. And, you know, for years we'd have to hear, like, well, that's why they win. It's not why they win. It's not why they win. It's actually hurt them probably more than it's helped them. But they've won in spite of it because, again, Brady's so freaking brilliant and such a winning stud, and Bill's a really good coach, is why you've won. It's not that crap. So, like, that's a long rant, but, you know, yeah, dump on Danny Amendola all you want. The points that he's making are legit.
No, some of them are legit. Not all of them are legit. And so, look, the part about, you know, a backdoor in the agent, so to speak, and, you know, going to the player directly, I mean, I'll take your word for it. I wasn't focused on that part of it. It sounded to me like he was whining about the fact that he had to negotiate for himself. But, Mike, when he goes on and on and on about it and really makes it about his contract negotiations with the Patriots, doesn't it validate the people who say, you know, listen to Amendola, like he's just sitting there because he got an axe to grind?
Yeah, he does.
If he just says it the one time, I just think it carries more weight. Once he starts going on every national show, then I think it starts to lose some of its impact.
No, I think you're right about that. And he's grinding an axe. But that just, what that does is it obscures the fact, excuse me, that those are legit criticisms. And it makes me want to belch in my mouth. By saying it's just about you and your money, Danny, it's then very easy to ignore the fact that those are actual gripes that a lot of players have had here over the years, and I don't know how it's helped you. I don't. Other than this broad thing of Bill's in control. It's a coach's locker room, not a player's locker room, which I actually agree with. Like, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's hard to let the players run the show in that league. You got to have a strong coach and a disciplinarian. And that whole culture, like, I think has been good for the Patriots. But specifically, the thing about, well, we got to save money because of the cap, or that is just pure poppycock. It's pure poppycock. And this the Bill wanting to take his share of the credit. I mean, Mr. Eight Rings, who's won six. you tell me, is that a legit? If that rubs players the wrong way, is that legit or illegit?
Oh no, that's legit.
Yeah, it's got to be legit.
No. But if you buy six, you get two free. You get an extra 25%. Yeah, it's like window nation.
I mean, the guy is so right. Right window doesn't do those phony deals. Yeah. You don't get 8 for 6. Yeah, you know, the guy is so freaking conscious of getting his credit that he's given himself rings that he won as an assistant. And Matt Patricia is claiming to have made the play against Seattle on the goal line in the Super Bowl. Like, that's how insistent these coaches are on getting their credit. And, oh, by the way, then in the offseason, when you're hurt or have a little bit of a down year, you got to hear from Bill, who you say, well, why don't you call Fred, the agent? He's like, no, I want to talk to you. And now Bill is asking you to take a pay cut. When has Bill ever taken one? Oh, no, that's right. It's $25 million. So the guy, you know, is going to take all the credit, you know, negotiate your money, bypass your agent. Can you blame Danny Amendola from getting out and saying, F you? F you, it's about Tom, not you. Like, I get where Amendola's coming from.
Oh, totally. And I would hope that Robert Kraft called Bill Belichick directly, circumvented the agent, and said, yeah, you know, Bill, we're thinking, you know, you might have to take a little bit of pay cut. And Bill said, well, call my agent. The hypocrisy that goes on is off the charts. It's off the charts. Bill's a weasel. Like, that part, he's always been a weasel when it comes to that crap.
So there's your Amendola follow. What do you think? Back to your phones after this.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you think in the end, Tom leaving and succeeding like this, as a player, does it make you happy? It's not anti-Bill, but it's more that Tom's kind of proving it was about the player, not the coach.
Yeah, I'm definitely not anti-Bill, man. I love what he's done and how he approaches the game as a head coach. Again, business is business, and you got to be doing, and I learned from Bill, you got to do business as business is being done. And, you know, if he wants to cut your pay in half and you can get more on the street and you can go somewhere else and help provide for your family, then that's what you got to do. And I feel like, you know, that's the same reason why Tom is out in New England and he's on to Tampa.
So Amendola doesn't have to do the, you know, I'm definitely not anti-Bill. Oh, shut up. Of course you are. Of course you're anti-Bill. Own it now. I mean, you're going on a media tour bashing the guy. So own it. You're anti-Bill.
Yeah, don't try to walk it back. It ain't like, I mean, you've said what you've said. That just seems disingenuous.
I mean, which is okay. You've got a problem with the way he handled it, the way he handled you. You think it's about the players and Brady and not the coaches. Say it, own it, and you're anti-Bill. Fine. No problem. Just own that thing. But, you know, the thing about, you know, do business as business is done. If you cut your pay, you want to go somewhere else where someone is going to take care of you, you have to do it. And that's why Brady left. At least Amendola nailed that. He's the only one that really gets it. Brady's departure began and ends with the contract, which represented to Brady commitment, but it was about the contract, as it is with most of these guys, which explains Amendola's, you know, anti-Bill media tour and the reason Tom Brady's wearing that stupid pirate helmet right now and not a Patriots helmet. It's because they didn't want to give him the contract. So anyway, back to your phones on all of this stuff. John in Connecticut. Go ahead, John. What do you got?
Hey, guys. So I actually wanted to, you know, say that the reason why Tom really does, you know, get a lot of admiration from people is really just because he's a winner. I mean, I can't relate to him as much as I relate to LeBron James, realistically. So it's really all about winning. That's why those guys get their respect. But I really wanted to touch base about what Murray said about getting rid of Bill. I mean, talk about really just jumping the gun on something. Imagine a world where we have no quarterback and then we have a coach like, I don't know, Bruce Arians, who's a complete buffoon typically. That's the worst case scenario for us as a Patriots fan right now. So I'd rather have Bill and no quarterback or a quarterback and no coach than that.
So, right. I mean, and this is the path you've chosen. Now, hopefully the game hasn't passed Bill by like it did Shula at the end or Tom Landry at the end or one of those guys at the end. I mean, it's just you just got to hope that he can spin one more roster out of it. You know, he's done it two or three times here.
While Tom Brady was here, though.
Yeah, certainly. Absolutely. So both of it, Murray. You know, can he find the next quarterback? And, you know, we obviously know that's not enough. So he's got to do both. He's got to get the quarterback and the roster. And so he did the roster a couple of times. He's done the quarterback only once, unless, you know, you don't want to give him Garoppolo. So maybe that goes back to that thing.
Let me pose this hypothetical to you and the audience as well. If the Patriots could either trade for or bring in a Derek Carr, Sam Darnold, Garoppolo, any of those, or trade for Sean McVay, what would you choose?
It's a good question. I'd go with the quarterback. I'm not giving up on Bill yet.
Yeah, I mean, I would have different answers depending on who the quarterback is. But if you tell me it's a quarterback, I like him taking the quarterback.
I take McVay.
Okay, that's good. I mean, that's fine. Own it.
See, I got a pat in the head for a little good facilitating right there.
that was a nifty bit of facilitating. McVay, I like. He doesn't do squat on the defense. He's another one of these guys that, so when I bring in McVay, I also have to bring in a defensive coordinator, and that's going to turn over every couple of years if the guy's any good. And I'm just not giving up on Bill yet. But, I acknowledge the possibility that maybe he's done. Maybe he's past his prime, too. It happens to coaches. It does. And it's possible he's past his. I'm not going to discount that. I'm just, you made your choice. You made your choice. You stuck with Bill. You let Brady go. He gets more than a year to see it through. That's for sure. I give him two or three. But we'll see how that all plays out.
Mike, I would rather be a year early on the head coach than a year too late on the head coach.
Yeah, so maybe this year is it. I mean, you guys might be right about that. Allison in New Hampshire. Hi, Allison.
Hi. You guys are never happy. He's a nice guy. If you talked about Tom Brady and his ex-teammates or other players in the league, they all say the same thing. And with this crazy political environment we live in, what's wrong with admiring a nice family? If he was the opposite and said all this stuff about Bill, you would have criticized him for that, and everybody would too. It's not the place or the time to share his feelings about what happened with Bill. And I'm glad. I hope Bill suffers because he's so arrogant. But what I'm saying is people do admire Tom Brady because he was a sixth-round draft pick, and he worked hard. His work ethic is admirable. And because he has a nice family and a beautiful wife, well, good for him. Okay, why do you hate him for that?
Okay, Allison, let me finish. Or let me answer you, because I think some people reject the too perfect guy. There's an unrelatability to the guy that has it all and is too perfect, and that his poop doesn't stink and he never does the wrong thing or says the wrong thing. And we should admire those people. You're probably right. But we sort of, I think, as a society, gravitate to people that have, I don't know, maybe have a problem that they've owned or something. I mean, I don't know. I just think that works against Brady. I don't feel that, and again, you're different, but I don't feel like people have an attachment, emotional attachment to Brady that they might another athlete. And maybe I just have that wrong, but I just think that people look at him and say, you're just too perfect.
Yeah, well, they can't relate to him as being human. I mean, at the end of the day, that's the one common thing that everybody has. Is that, you have the same sort of flaws and vulnerabilities or insecurities or whatever else. So you connect on that. You understand it. He does. I mean, with him, how can you possibly do that?
You know, one thing I will give him credit for, though, that he's not phony. Like, it's, as I'm, I mentioned this before, I think guys like Brett Favre, who I can't stand, but guys like a Brett Favre or a Peyton Manning are more relatable to people because what? They have maybe a little bit of a southern accent, or they drive a pickup truck, or they drink beer, or go deer hunting, or crap like this.
Wrangler.
And maybe it's just a complete fraud, especially with Peyton Manning, right? Who, probably has, ass wipers. He probably has royal wipers. He probably doesn't wipe his own tush, and he lives in probably a 40, room, multi-million dollar mansion. But he's got a little bit of a southern twang, and he does a, outlaw commercial, whatever, and he just comes across a little more. So he might be a phony, and I'll give Brady credit. He doesn't wear the plaid shirt and the pickup truck, and he doesn't pretend to be something he's not. He drives the Aston Martin because he really likes the trappings of the rich lifestyle. At least he owns that. But typically speaking, it's more the Brett Favre on the lawnmower and Peyton Manning in the pickup truck that is more relatable than the Tom Brady figure. That's all.
Because both of those guys have painted themselves as the regular Joe, and I think that that was done on purpose, too. I mean, they might have some of that to them, to their personalities, I'm sure, but that's not who they truly are, because otherwise they'd fly commercial, wouldn't they, and, you know, have regular houses, but they don't.
Yeah, and then just to Allison, I don't hate Brady. It sounds like I hate him. I hate the image of Brady. Like, I do. I can't stand it. The idea that it, because it's just so manufactured, contrived. And look, I think he is, you know, at his core, a snob. But that doesn't mean I think he's the devil.
So, but if he had some, if he says something else or carries himself a different way, she says we'd probably criticize him for that, too. And
true.
That's fair. That's fair. But the whole jumping off point is, Fanatics, the NFL's official e-commerce partner, said Brady has been their best-selling NFL player ever for the two-week period between the conference title game and the Super Bowl. So Brady has sold more jerseys and more merchandise in this two-week run-up to the Super Bowl than any player in history. And not only that, they say Brady's merchandise sales are also more than double what they were following his last conference championship game in 2018. And it took just 3 days this year for sales to hit what they did in the full two-week period of 2018. So has Brady doubled in popularity? Is he more popular now than he was as a Patriot? And if so, why? That's just sort of that jumping-off point that has you all hot and bothered. We'll get back to that and another name on the quarterback carousel. You'll hear it right here in Big Jim Murray's update, and then we'll come back and discuss that as well. So don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, that name on the quarterback carousel that came today was mentioned by Bernie in the update. Carson Wentz wants out of Philly. Philly may not acquiesce to the request, but Wentz wants out. Would you want Carson Wentz? Dave in New Hampshire, would you want Carson Wentz?
Yeah, and I know he had a bad year, but he can make some good throws. Like, he made a back shoulder fade in the wheel route to Boston Scott, who's like 5'6", and the defender was like 6 feet tall. It was like a... Yeah, like a 15-yard first down. And he can do the double post, too. You know, he can do a lot.
Okay, babe. Bring me someone in here to do the double post, Maz. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, no. I want to thank Hank Stram for that phone call. I appreciate that.
And I love drinking with Boston Scott.
To me, he's broken. He's got a lot of talent. He's shown it. Okay, it's not like he's never shown it. He's just broken. So that kind of feels like the perfect reclamation project.
Mm-hmm.
For Belichick. Now, like, I wouldn't want to stop there. If you still feel there's someone worthy in the draft, take him too. Or go into it next year and draft that guy. And if it's Wentz, I'd still want some protection. In other words, I would hate to have it be Wentz and Stidham and, you know, whatever. You know, bring in another guy too. So Wentz and someone else. But I think that's a worthy project. I really do. I mean, if you can fix him, there's a lot of talent there, and he's actually shown that talent before.
Wait, Wentz and like another veteran?
Yeah.
He couldn't do it. No, because half the reason he's broken mentally is because he lost his job to Jalen Hurts and doesn't want to fight for it. He just wants it given to him.
I'm telling you, his coach, his most recent coach, is a schmuck. He's a schmuck. Peterson doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And so that thing got mismanaged down there. Murray, I don't disagree with your assessment that you'd like to see the guy respond more aggressively and competitively than he did. Totally agree with that. I also think the whole thing got so screwed up down there that sometimes you just got to look past it and say it didn't work right.
So, I mean, I'll just state again, you're not getting a ready-made guy. Whether you draft one or bring in one of these veterans unless you land Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. Which, Aaron Rodgers is not a zero, but Russell Wilson's is, you're not getting one of these ready-made guys. So you're going to have to rehab a current player in the NFL or develop the rookie. So, like, they're all imperfect, Murray. I mean, you've just got to accept that, right?
Yeah, no, I know. And that's why, I think you're only going to find the next guy that can actually win championships via the draft. Of these retreads, just, like, fine. Like, that's why I can live with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Because you're not, you can bring any of these guys in. You believe in upside for these stiffs. I don't. So let's go with, like, the funniest of the bunch in Ryan Fitzpatrick, because I could use the entertainment. He can at least throw the ball, unlike Cam Newton. So bring in, like, the funny bum, and you're also drafting a guy for the future. Because the winning's over, as far as championships. Just be competitive, fine. That's what I want. But championships, you getting it with Carson Wentz or Garoppolo or any of these other stiffs. Derek Carr, get out of my face. So bring in the funny guy with the beard, complete the circle of he's played for all the AFC East teams, and draft the future.
Murray, who do you believe in? Like, who would have upside in the league? Just name a guy, any guy.
Deshaun Watson.
Well, he's sort of ready-made, you know. I mean, but I guess he's never won a... He's never really won in the... Has he ever won a playoff game? One?
Yeah,
he
one.
Won one? So, yeah, okay. Fine, give me another guy.
Kyler Murray?
Well, that... Okay, I'm not talking about that. I mean, okay.
If you mean guys they can get, the answer is nobody.
Okay. I'm not sold on Kyler. I mean, I thought he was going to have a good year last year. He did. I'm not sold on Kyler Murray as that guy. Deshaun Watson, maybe. Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, Murray, your list is like, you know, you're not going to get those guys.
No, I know. Again, like, it's always the same quarterbacks that are always winning. Again, you're like, it's like hitting on a scratch ticket or winning the lottery. The Patriots need to try to win the lottery again by drafting a guy. Because with any of these retreads, because I don't believe in Belichick like you guys do, or you, Mike, any of these guys aren't going to be the guy to bring them to a championship. That's not going to happen. So I want the funny guy in Ryan Fitzpatrick with the beard and, oh, how about that? He just had 3 touchdowns but cost him the game with 5 picks. But, hey, that was a hell of a game. We could talk about it. But it doesn't really matter because they've drafted the kid. There's a plan, and then he'll be the starter in a few years, and off we go.
It sounds miserable. You should, like, follow Premier League soccer or something. I mean, if
I'm a realist. No, I'm not miserable. I'm just keeping it real.
Well, no, but there's only a couple of guys, right, that you would feel good about or accept, but you're not going to get them.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, yes, you can say everyone sucks and no one's going to do it, and you're probably going to be right because 31 of 32 ultimately lose. So, like, you're right there. But, I mean, that just seems sort of, like, really hopeless, man.
No, it's Jimmy just said this in my ear. It's like me with the NBA.
It's like unbelievable.
Totally. So, look, I'll tell you what my concern with Belichick is, okay? And because this relates a little bit to what Murray's saying. But I worry that he's not going to aim high enough. And when I say that, I mean, for example, Mike, we would have said, give him Brian Hoyer. Okay, well, then he put Brian Hoyer in the game in Kansas City, and what happened? Brian Hoyer...
Up, you know what? He gave up on him too soon. Hoyer would have been better than Cam Newton.
Okay, but the point is, whether it was Brian Hoyer or Cam Newton, he then put Brian Hoyer into the red zone. Brian Hoyer crapped his pants, and that was the end of it. It was over. And so my concern with Bill comes, you want to say, okay, get yourself a retread, a guy with some ability. Derek Carr, fine. Carson Wentz, fine. Is Bill going to ask him to redo the contract?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so this is like, well, you know.
And then when the guy plays well, Bill's going to take credit for it, say we practiced that on Friday.
Right.
So, yes, that's still part of the program.
So this is what, like, bugs me. It's not enough to say you got to get a depressed asset that, you know, you got to trade something for, but it's a second or third round pick instead of a first. Then you got to go lower the contract, too. It's if you're going to do that, then you're going to end up with garbage. You're going to end up with garbage. You're going to end up with Brian Hoyer again because nobody's going to want to play here anymore.
I just can't believe that, Mike, you just uttered that they gave up, or Bill gave up on Brian Hoyer too soon performance in Kansas
City. He deserved
another
chance. He did.
After watching Cam Newton play at the end of the year, I'm not sure that's totally
wrong.
That's
what I'm saying. He would have been better than Cam Newton. He would have been better than Cam. At least they moved the ball that night.
The bottom line is that their entire quarterback operation was one big pile of cow dung, is what it was. It was a load of crap. They had garbage there, and all Bill could do was walk around in his boots because it was nothing but crap piled up all over the place.
And if your standard is, you know, Brady and Deshaun Watson, like, you're not going to like whatever they do. you know?
No, I know that. I've prepared for that. That's why they need to draft someone. This is why I was right all season when it was better for the future of this franchise to lose some crap games.
You're not going to like that guy either.
No, but I can be intrigued by that guy because there's always upside with the quarterback that you draft.
For like 2 minutes, and then you're going to watch him in one series in a preseason game, and he'll suck too, and you'll be done with him.
That's fun. I can learn to hate him, but there's upside with the drafted quarterback. These retreads, please. Oh, yeah, no, Bill's going to get in here and fix him. Bill knows the way.
Mike, what if I said to you, the Patriots could get Garoppolo, and he'll redo the contract, but they have to give up the first. Or you tell me, you get whatever quarterback you want. They'll redo the contract, but you've got to give up the first, or they do nothing. What would you pick?
So this is the other thing, and you've take cornered me because I don't want to give up a first round pick for any of these guys.
Okay, but the point is, if you were to say, so go ahead, answer the question.
So I don't know how to answer that. Yeah, I don't feel you should have to. I don't feel you should have to. There's going to be so many guys available. I hope.
Okay, but you have to choose between what's more important, winning the trade or getting a quarterback.
Right.
You have to choose. You have to choose that. So which one are you going to choose?
Yeah, I'm going to give up that first round pick.
Okay,
then.
So as am I. I don't think they will. I think that Bill will sit there and go, nope, we'll just go with what we've got. And that scares the crap out of me. Because if they think they're going to go with Jarrett Stidham or whoever else, I think they are freaking delusional. And that scares because they have to win the trade. And that bugs me.
Maz, okay. That sounded a little informed there. Did that come from the Apple Watch?
No. Go ahead, so you got it. So did you hear it in the background? Because I did.
We got the news are coming in.
I love it.
Told you we played this at my wedding.
Hey! How do you dance to it, Maz? Exactly.
Like this.
You need to put it out in the air. They're going to be a chief at the quarterback position.
And may your first child be a masculine child.
We just don't play. We don't break plates over each other's heads.
So,
like the Greeks.
Coming up next, I have a quick follow-up on the Patriot way and just what it is and how did it start after these words in our long commercial-free segment.
Felger and Mads on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz get all their inside information.
I heard from a guy at a cocktail party.
Always relying on their credible sources. Felger and Maz, the show to come to when sports news breaks.
Oh!
Well, I think the Patriot way was always comprised of multiple facets of our team. You know, it was the players who were unselfish and put team before individualism and bought into a system. It was the coaching staff who devise a system and a blueprint, you know, that had players that bought into it and went out and was able to execute, and they were able to identify those type of players with the character and the mindset and the physical and mental toughness it took, and to be disciplined enough, you know, to be one as a team.
William McGinnis on today with Edel and Zolak, responding to the Amendola comments about look a Patriot way in the dictionary and there's Tom Brady's picture. So it's you know the Amendola comments have spawned this whole thing about what is the Patriot way, and you know Willie hit on it there, and most 99% of us all know it's a combination of factors. Like again, it becomes Brady versus Bill just because of the nature of that conversation and talk radio being what it is and sports debates being what they are. They become black and white, Brady or Bill. But everyone knows and acknowledges it's a combination of those factors. Like, got it. Duh. Obviously. It's just how do you rank them? You know, where what is most important? What's number one? What's number two? What's number three? What's number four? Okay. On down the line. And, you know, people always leave one crucial thing off the list, though. It's just one thing that people miss about the Patriot way and how this whole thing started and what's responsible for it. And you know, they put a lot on the list. Like, William McGinnis hit on it there. Like, a lot of people will say, Maz, well, when Bill got here, they had all these great, you know, players that were ready to win. And so Bill was handed the roster, which is true to a point, because you did have that core group of McGinnis and Law and Malloy and Brewski and Ted Johnson and Troy Brown, all holdovers from Parcells and that 96 run. But if we're being honest, that group was not ready to win. In fact, since 96 and Parcells left, it was that steady decline. They went from 11 wins to 10 to 9, from the divisional round to the wild card round to out of the playoffs. And by the time Pete Carroll was done with that group, they none of them could stay healthy. They were all overpaid. They couldn't get on the field. They were acting like complete clowns off the field with, you know, we talked about this yesterday, barroom fights and locker room fights and stage diving and just a bunch of nonsense. They were, that group, as talented as they turned out to be, was not ready to win. Pete Carroll wasn't ready to lead them. And so, yeah, you had some good players here holding over, but they weren't ready. And that, you know, they were on the way to being dismantled until Bill got here. So don't tell me that it was about that group, because it wasn't. It wasn't about that group. What happened is Bill got here, and then he added to it. You know, he changed the culture, and then he added to it with a bunch of guys that bought in. His guys, Jets guys, Parcells Jets guys, like Pfeiffer and Otis Smith, and Brian Cox and Anthony Pleasant and Bobby Hamilton. Remember Bobby Hamilton?
Of course.
Well, one of the great unsung Patriots from that, you know, early run. Loved Bobby Hamilton. So he brought in like all sorts of, you know, sort of mid-tier free agents like that who understood how he was going to do it. Added to it with some outside guys like Vrabel and Terrell Buckley and Larry Izzo. Larry Izzo was the Matthew Slater of his time. Like, Bill's always been horny for special teams, and Izzo was his guy. So he added that. Okay, that was a factor, obviously. He drafted well. I know people don't want to give him credit for good drafts, but in 01, it was Seymour and Matt Light back-to-back. That was pretty snappy. That worked. Those two guys were there. And so that was a factor. And obviously, Bill's coaching is a factor. And then you add Tom Brady to it, Maz, and there you go. Like, there's the Petri dish, right? It's the 96 Parcells holdovers. It's the Jets guys and the, you know, little mid-tier free agents, the Mike Vrabels of the world that he brought in. It's Bill's great coaching, because he still was a great coach and a great strategist. A couple of really good draft picks there, Brady, Seymour, Light. There's the Petri dish. Then they made the right call. Brady falls into their lap. Brady takes over. You add that. And so there's the Petri dish. But people always leave out the one thing that I think was crucial to the whole thing. They won. They won. If they don't win, right, and win at a high level, none of those things are really valid. The lightning strike, Maz, was Adam Vinatieri's kick in the snow and the upset in Pittsburgh and the upset over the Rams. And that gave them all that juice, and that gave them all that wind at their sails, and it validated everything, and it gave them their sort of swagger and attitude. And without that early win, you can't discount that. You know, Brady doesn't go on the way to becoming Brady, and the Patriot way, and Belichick is the genius and all of that. It doesn't take hold unless they win, and they win at that level. And I think sort of people leave that out, and leave out the fact that there was some good fortune in there. You know, that was the Tuck rule was the right call, but it was a close one. That could have gone either way. You know that. And that Adam kick, I'm sorry, Adam, I'm talking about the game tying kick, was something that you just don't see. I'm sorry.
And let's not forget about Mo Lewis's hit.
Okay, but right. So, but that got Brady on the field. Murray, I like to think that Brady was getting there anyway, that Bill was going to make that move anyway. Because they were really high on Tom, and they moved him up the depth chart and put him one step away to begin with. And now, maybe, Murray, they would have been 1-6 when he made the move, and it would have been too late. It's right. So, like, Mo Lewis is obviously – but I'm talking about just the fact that they won and they came through in those games gave them all that juice. And so it was a little bit of luck, which doesn't take anything away from anyone. A lot of successful people do a lot of things right, but it just doesn't – you need the lightning strike. You need the timing, and you need that moment, and then boom, all the good work and all the right things that you did put the wind at your sails, and you go on and you have great success. But without that first hit, Maz, I don't know if the whole thing happens.
No, look, and I think you can say that about I think you can say it about most championship teams. Not all of them, because there are some that are just so dominant that, you know, they steamroll everybody. But there are, to me, there's always a component of luck. And do not ever underestimate, even at the professional level, the value of confidence of having done something. Because then all of a sudden you're like, it doesn't seem so hard to win the next one. Like, there's a mental block there with Absolutely. Winning championship. Yeah, a lot of players and coaches and, you know, executives, they all have it. Most of them do. They just don't understand fully what it takes or how it's going to happen. And until it does, they're always not sure if they can win it until they win it.
And that, you know, just, I mean, think in your mind's eye. If that game-tying kick from Adam doesn't go through in the snow, which, again, to this day, remains one of the top three most amazing football plays I've ever seen in my life. Like, for those of us that were there or just watching the thing, I can't believe they even attempted it. To this day, I can't believe that he ran out for that attempt. I said, you can't kick this thing in those conditions and the clock running and no timeouts and there's a foot of snow. Like, no, what are you doing? It's 40, was it 47? Well, I mean, it's like, no way. So I can't believe they attempted it, never mind make it. But if he doesn't make it, what you have here is an 11-win team that put together a nice regular season, lost to a better team at home in the playoffs. The next year, they went 9-7. And you tell me, is Belichick able to manage the thing the way he wants to manage the thing with that iron fist and that attitude of his?
No.
And does, you know, Ty Law and that whole group, do they have the same, you know, swagger, the same sort of confidence? And no. It all, you know, they did a lot of things right to put it all in that Petri dish. But without that kick and those next two wins, the next 2 weeks, I mean, to me, that's as responsible for the Patriot way as anything. So anyway, that just occurred to me. I wanted to hit on that. So we got a lot on the table. You want to weigh in on that? You can. The latest names here to hit the quarterback carousel list and Carson Wentz and Derek Carr. You want those guys and the Tom Brady merchandise stuff and Tom Brady's popularity. Can you explain it? And do you like Tom Brady as much as you ever have as a Boston sports fan? All those items, I promise, right to your phones after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.